Welcome to the History AI podcast, where the past comes alive with facts, anecdotes, and a dash of humor. Here are your hosts, Chuck and Marco.
Welcome back, history buffs. This is the History AI podcast, where we dig into the past to uncover the stories that shaped our world. I'm Chuck.
And I'm Marco. Today, we're diving into one of the most harrowing and inspiring tales of human endurance, leadership, and resilience, the epic Antarctic expedition of Sir Ernest Shackleton and the crew of the Endurance.
Marco, if there's one thing I've learned from Shackleton's story, it's this: never underestimate the power of hope, grit, and a well-timed motivational speech.
Agreed. But before we jump into icy waters, let's set the stage. This isn't just a story of adventure, it's a masterclass in leadership under impossible conditions. Before we dive into the icy drama of the Endurance, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and give us a 5-star review. Okay, now let's talk about the man himself, Sir Ernest Shackleton. He wasn't just some guy with a compass and a dream. He was a charismatic, daring, and occasionally stubborn explorer who refused to quit.
Stubborn? That's putting it mildly. Shackleton wasn't the type to sit at home knitting sweaters. He had big ambitions, and by big, I mean, hey, let's walk across an entire frozen continent big.
He was born on February 15, 1874, in County Kildare, Ireland. His family was Anglo-Irish, and when Ernest was 10, they moved to England. Even as a kid, Shackleton didn't seem interested in the typical career paths of the time. Law, medicine, no, he wanted adventure.
You know, the usual I'm 16, so I'm joining the Merchant Navy kind of ambition. At an age when most of us were struggling to figure out algebra, Shackleton was navigating oceans. By 24, he was a qualified master mariner.
But here's where things get interesting. Shackleton's real claim to fame began with his involvement in polar exploration. In 1901, he joined Robert Falcon Scott's Discovery Expedition, which aimed to reach the South Pole.
Let's just say that trip wasn't a walk in the park, or should I say, a walk in the ice. Shackleton Scott and a third explorer, Edward Wilson, trekked further south than anyone before them, but it came at a cost. Shackleton fell seriously ill. Scurvy, exhaustion, and frostbite knocked him out.
Yeah, and Scott sent him home early. It's like being benched in the middle of the big game. Shackleton took it personally and vowed to return to Antarctica one day.
And return he did, big time. In 1907, Shackleton led the Nimrod expedition, which was his first shot at polar glory. He didn't reach the South Pole, but he got within 97 miles of it, which was the closest anyone had come at the time.
Fun fact, Shackleton turned back voluntarily because he realized pushing further would mean certain death for him and his crew. It was one of his defining traits. He cared deeply about the well-being of his team.
So basically, he was the opposite of that "we're all going down with the ship" stereotype.
Exactly. After the Nimrod expedition, Shackleton became a bit of a celebrity. He was knighted by King Edward VII in 1909 and basked in the glory of being a polar hero. But fame didn't pay the bills. Shackleton wasn't great with money, and he needed funding for future expeditions.
And let's face it, Marco, who's going to say no to a guy like Shackleton? Oh, you want to walk across Antarctica? Sure, here's a blank check.
That brings us to 1914. Shackleton launched the Imperial Transantarctic Expedition.
The goal?
Cross Antarctica from one coast to the other, something no one had even come close to doing. He secured financial backing, assembled a crew, and acquired a state-of-the-art ship, the Endurance.
Named after his family motto, "By endurance we conquer." It's a great name for a ship. But, spoiler alert, it's also ironic.
Shackleton's determination was legendary, but even he couldn't have predicted what was waiting for him in the icy grip of the Antarctic.
Foreshadowing, Marco. Always with the foreshadowing.
That's my job, Chuck. So, let's set sail on the grand adventure of the Endurance. It's August 8, 1914. Picture this: Europe is on the brink of World War I, and while the world is descending into chaos, Shackleton is thinking, you know what's a great idea? Leading an expedition to the most inhospitable place on Earth.
Because when things heat up, the best solution is to head somewhere really, really cold. Makes perfect sense.
Exactly. The Endurance departs from Plymouth, England, with a crew of 28 men, including scientists, sailors, and even a photographer named Frank Hurley, who was there to document the whole journey.
Gotta get those Instagram-worthy shots, even in 1914. Hashtag no filter needed.
The ship makes a stop in Buenos Aires, Argentina, to pick up last-minute supplies and, believe it or not, Shackleton stowaway. A young Scottish sailor named Percy Blackborough sneaked aboard. Instead of being furious, Shackleton said, "If we run out of food, you're the first we'll eat." Then he gave him a job.
Talk about a warm welcome. Join us, or join the menu.
After leaving Buenos Aires, they head to South Georgia Island, a remote whaling station, to get final updates on the icy conditions ahead. The Norwegian whalers there warn Shackleton that the Weddell Seas Pack ice is the worst they've seen in years.
But did that deter our intrepid explorer? Of course not. Shackleton probably thought, what's a little ice? We're British, we have tea.
On December 5, 1914, the Endurance sets off into the Weddell Sea. At first, navigating through the loose pack ice is like a giant game of Tetris. The ship weaves and dodges between ice floes, making steady progress.
The crew is in high spirits. They're excited, they're singing shanties, and their biggest worry is running out of marmalade for their biscuits.
But as they venture further south, the ice thickens. By January 15, 1915, they're encountering ice floes that stretch to the horizon. The ship begins to struggle, frequently getting stuck.
It's like when you're late for work and every single traffic light turns red. Except the traffic lights are made of ice, and you're in Antarctica.
They use the ship's engines at full power, and the crew even gets out onto the ice to hack away paths with saws and pickaxes. For a moment, it works. They make some headway, and optimism returns.
But Mother Nature loves a good plot twist. On January 18th, just one day's sail from their intended landing site at Vassal Bay, the temperature drops, and a northerly gale forces the pack ice to close in around them.
The Endurance becomes beset, completely trapped in the ice. The ship is now at the mercy of the drifting floes, Shackleton writes in his diary. The ship is frozen like an almond in the middle of a chocolate bar.
Now that's a sweet analogy for a bitter situation.
Shackleton assesses the situation and decides they'll wait for the ice to break up. After all, Antarctic summer is approaching, and warmer temperatures should free them. In the meantime, life on the ice begins.
The crew adapts surprisingly well. They set up routines, maintaining the ship, exercising the sled dogs, even holding regular social gatherings. They celebrate birthdays and hold evening entertainments to keep morale high.
Frank Hurley, the photographer, continues to document their experience, capturing stunning images of the ship trapped in the eerie, frozen landscape. These photographs would later become iconic.
But as weeks turn into months, it becomes clear that the ice isn't melting, in fact, it's solidifying. The Antarctic winter is setting in early, and temperatures plummet to minus 4 degrees Fahrenheit or about negative 20 degrees Celsius.
The sun disappears below the horizon in May, bringing perpetual darkness. The men experience the psychological strain of polar night, but Shackleton's leadership keeps them focused. He knows that an idle mind can be as dangerous as the freezing temperatures.
He implements a strict schedule, meals at set times, regular duties, and even organizes dog sledging teams for when, or if, they can make a break for land.
Despite their efforts, the Endurance drifts further north, away from their intended destination. They're now passengers on a massive ice raft, carried by currents they can't control.
It's like being on a cruise you didn't sign up for, with no stops, no buffet, and the ice sculptures are the only scenery.
By July, the pressure of the ice on the ship's hull becomes a serious concern. The creaking and groaning of the wooden beam sound like ominous warnings. Shackleton holds meetings to keep the men informed and prepared for any outcome.
On October 24, 1915, disaster strikes. The ice begins to crush the ship's hull, causing it to leak. The pumps are manned day and night, but water floods in faster than they can expel it.
Shackleton gives the order to abandon the Endurance. They salvage what they can, food, equipment, the lifeboats, and even Hurley's photographic plates, though he has to discard a significant portion due to weight.
Priorities, right? Leave the fine china, but save the selfies.
They set up camp on the ice floe, which they nickname Ocean Camp. Watching their ship, their home, sink beneath the ice is a devastating blow.
But Shackleton, ever resilient, tells his men, "Now we'll go home. No ship, no radio, thousands of miles from civilization, and he's already planning the return journey.
With the Endurance lost to the depths of the Weddell Sea, Shackleton and his crew found themselves stranded on a floating ice floe, hundreds of miles from the nearest land. No ship, no rescue in sight, and temperatures that could turn your breath into ice crystals. It was survival time.
And let's be clear, this wasn't some well-equipped survival TV show. This was the real deal, 28 men, 3 small lifeboats, limited food supplies, and a whole lot of penguins giving them side eye.
They salvaged everything they could from the sinking ship, tools, tents, sleeping bags, and provisions. Frank Hurley even managed to save some of his precious photographic negatives. Shackleton, as always, had his eye on the big picture, survival first, morale second.
The crew set up camp on the ice, which they optimistically called Ocean Camp. Now, keep in mind, this wasn't solid ground, it was a moving, cracking, shifting piece of ice. At any moment, the floe could break apart and dump them into the freezing water.
But Shackleton's leadership shone through. He set up strict routines to keep everyone busy and focused. The men were given daily tasks, tending to the sled dogs, hunting for food, and repairing gear. Even when nothing seemed urgent, he made sure everyone had something to do.
Because nothing kills morale like boredom and fear. Shackleton knew that idle time was dangerous. It gave the crew time to dwell on how bad their situation really was.
Speaking of morale, let's talk food. The crew started with basic rations, but those didn't last long. They had to rely on hunting seals and penguins, which became their main source of food. The men joked about their Antarctic cuisine, but in truth, it was grim.
And then there was the blubber. They ate seal and penguin blubber for calories. Imagine eating greasy, rubbery fat as your main meal. It wasn't just gross, it was also incredibly smoky when they burned it for cooking fuel. The whole camp smelled like an oil spill at a barbecue.
Yet Shackleton made sure everyone got their fair share. He understood the power of fairness, especially in such dire conditions. No one got extra rations, not even Shackleton himself. He shared everything equally to maintain unity among the men.
And let's not forget the penguin patrol. The crew hunted penguins with rifles and clubs, but it wasn't just about survival, it was a way to stay active and give them a sense of purpose.
By January 1916, the ice floe they were camped on was shrinking. Shackleton knew they couldn't stay put forever. The floe was no longer safe, and they needed a new plan. He decided they would take to the lifeboats and try to reach solid ground.
Can we talk about those lifeboats for a second? These weren't modern, motorized speedboats. These were open, wooden boats, designed for short trips, not navigating through miles of ice-strewn, freezing ocean.
The lifeboats were the James Caird, Dudley Docker, and Stancomb Wills. Shackleton and his men modified them for the journey, reinforcing the hulls and building makeshift decks to provide some shelter from the cold.
The process of getting the boats to open water was brutal. They had to drag them across the ice, mile by mile, in freezing winds. It was backbreaking work, and progress was slow, less than a mile per day at times.
Finally, in April 1916, the ice floe broke apart completely. The men had no choice but to launch the lifeboats. Shackleton's new goal was to reach Elephant Island, a remote, rocky outcrop about 100 miles away.
But here's the thing, 100 miles in those conditions is like trying to cross the Atlantic in a rowboat during a hurricane. The sea was freezing, the waves were towering, and the men were soaked and exhausted.
Despite the odds, Shackleton managed to keep the group together, rowing and navigating their way through treacherous waters. They battled ice-cold spray, bitter winds, and even leopard seals, which had a habit of popping up unexpectedly and scaring the life out of them.
Fun fact, leopard seals are not the cuddly kind of seal. They're big, aggressive, and have a set of teeth that scream, "You're not welcome here."
After days of brutal rowing and navigating through ice floes, they finally reached Elephant Island. It wasn't exactly paradise, think jagged rocks, relentless winds, and no resources, but it was solid ground.
For the first time in over a year, they were standing on land. But Shackleton knew they weren't safe yet. Elephant Island was too remote for any passing ships to find them.
And that's where Shackleton made his next bold decision, a daring rescue mission that would test every ounce of his strength, courage, and leadership.
That's right. Shackleton made what is arguably one of the most heroic decisions in exploration history. he would take a small team, set out in one of the lifeboats, and sail to South Georgia Island, a whaling station some 800 miles away across some of the most dangerous waters on Earth.
Now, let's put that into perspective. The South Atlantic isn't a friendly little pond. We're talking about waves towering over 50 feet, icy winds, and a constant threat of capsizing. And their boat, the James Caird, wasn't exactly a luxury yacht. It was a 22-foot open lifeboat, hastily reinforced for the journey.
And by reinforced, we mean they slapped on some extra wood, caulked every crack they could find, and rigged up a canvas cover to shield them from the spray. It was the maritime equivalent of patching a hole in your roof with duct tape.
On April 24, 1916, Shackleton and five of his best men, Frank Worsley, Tom Crean, Tim McCarthy, Harry McNish, and John Vincent, set off in the James Caird. Worsley, the expedition's navigator, had the near impossible task of guiding them using a sextant and dead reckoning.
Dead reckoning, by the way, is basically guesswork with a side of math. And considering the stormy seas and constantly shifting clouds obscuring the sun, it was like trying to navigate with your eyes closed.
For 16 days, they battled the elements. The crew had to take turns bailing water out of the boat to keep it afloat. The waves were relentless, crashing over the sides and soaking them to the bone.
And let's not forget the cold. Temperatures hovered below freezing, and they were constantly wet. Hypothermia was a constant threat. Imagine sitting in an ice bath for 2 weeks, except your ice bath is trying to kill you.
Shackleton kept the men motivated through sheer willpower. He led by example, refusing to let despair creep in. Even when their situation seemed hopeless, he exuded confidence.
Fun fact: Shackleton once told his men he believed they were being watched over by a higher power. Some of them later recalled feeling an almost mystical presence during the journey. Whether it was divine intervention or just Shackleton's leadership, it worked.
After nearly 3 weeks of unrelenting effort, they finally sighted South Georgia Island. But because nothing comes easy in this story, they landed on the wrong side of the island.
Of course they did. Because why would fate throw them a break at this point?
South Georgia's terrain is mountainous and treacherous, with glacier and sheer cliffs cutting through the landscape. Shackleton realized they couldn't risk sailing around the island in the stormy seas, so he and two others, Worsley and Crean, set out on foot to cross the island and reach the whaling station.
And let's talk about that hike. They didn't have proper climbing gear, ropes, or even decent boots. Just grit, determination, and a handful of biscuits for food.
The trio marched for 36 hours straight, navigating through icy peaks and valleys. They were so exhausted that when they finally reached the station, Shackleton had to muster every ounce of strength just to greet the Norwegian whalers.
Imagine walking into civilization after nearly 2 years in the Antarctic and casually being like, "Hey, we need help." The whalers were stunned. They couldn't believe Shackleton and his men had survived.
But the rescue wasn't over yet. Shackleton immediately organized an effort to save the men left behind on Elephant Island. The first three attempts to reach the island were thwarted by heavy ice. Each time Shackleton refused to give up.
Persistence paid off. On August 30, 1916, more than 4 months after the James Caird set sail, Shackleton finally reached Elephant Island aboard the Chilean ship Yelcho.
When the men on Elephant Island saw the rescue ship approaching, they couldn't believe their eyes. Frank Wild, Shackleton's second-in-command, had kept the men alive through discipline and hope. He reportedly told them, "Pack up your things, boys, the boss is back."
And here's the kicker: every single member of the Endurance expedition survived. Not one man was lost.
It's an extraordinary testament to Shackleton's leadership. He promised his men he'd bring them home, and against all odds, he delivered.
After the rescue, Shackleton returned to England, where he was hailed as a hero. But he never stopped dreaming of Antarctica. He launched another expedition in 1921, but passed away in 1922 on South Georgia Island, where he's buried to this day.
His story isn't just one of survival, it's one of resilience, courage, and the unshakable bond of a team united under extraordinary leadership.
And it reminds us all that when life throws you into the coldest, hardest situations, sometimes all you need is a little endurance.
Sir Ernest Shackleton's story didn't end when he rescued his crew from Elephant Island. In fact, his legacy only grew as his tale became known around the world. Today, Shackleton isn't just remembered as a polar explorer, he's celebrated as one of history's greatest leaders.
Let's break it down. Shackleton didn't achieve his original goal of crossing the Antarctic continent, but in many ways, what he accomplished was far greater. He showed the world what true leadership looks like, especially in the face of overwhelming adversity.
Shackleton had an incredible ability to adapt. When the mission changed from exploration to survival, he pivoted instantly. He made decisions not based on ego, but on what was best for his men.
And let's talk about his leadership style. Shackleton wasn't the kind of guy to bark orders from a safe distance. He was right there in the thick of it, pulling ropes, hauling lifeboats, and sharing the same hardships as his crew.
One of his most remarkable qualities was his ability to understand people. Shackleton carefully selected his crew not just for their skills, but for their personalities. He wanted a team that could work well together under stress, and it paid off.
A great example? Frank Wild, Shackleton's right-hand man. Wild was calm, practical, and had the respect of the entire crew. Shackleton knew he needed someone like Wild to hold things together when he wasn't around.
Then there's the stowaway, Percy Blackborough. Shackleton didn't throw him overboard, even though stowing away was a punishable offense. Instead, he gave him a role, ensuring he felt like part of the team.
And here's another thing, Shackleton's fairness. No favoritism. Everyone got the same rations, the same tasks, and the same share of the struggle. It created a sense of unity and trust that was vital in their survival.
Beyond leadership, Shackleton's legacy lives on in his ability to inspire. His story has become a blueprint for handling crisis situations, and his name is often brought up in business schools, military academies, and leadership seminars.
And not just for the corporate types, Shackleton's lessons apply to anyone facing adversity. He showed that you don't need to conquer your original goal to be a success. Sometimes, success is about protecting the people around you and finding a way to endure.
After the rescue, Shackleton wrote a book about the expedition called South. It's a gripping account of the endurance journey, and it cemented his status as one of the greatest explorers of the heroic age of Antarctic exploration.
But Shackleton wasn't done with the ice. In 1921, he launched the Shackleton Road Expedition, aiming to map uncharted parts of Antarctica and conduct scientific research.
Sadly, Shackleton's health was deteriorating. On January 5, 1922, he suffered a fatal heart attack aboard his ship, the Quest, while anchored at South Georgia Island. He was just 47 years old.
His crew wanted to bring his body back to England, but Shackleton's wife, Emily, requested he be buried on South Georgia, close to the place that defined his greatest achievements.
Today, his grave on South Georgia Island has become a pilgrimage site for adventurers, historians, and leaders who seek inspiration. The inscription on his headstone reads, "I hold that a man should strive to the uttermost for his life-set prize."
Shackleton's story didn't just stay frozen in time. His lessons on resilience, teamwork, and leadership continue to resonate. Modern explorers have retraced his journey, and the wreck of the Endurance was finally discovered in 2022, perfectly preserved in the icy depths of the Weddell Sea.
And let's not forget how Shackleton's leadership style continues to shape how we view crisis management. His ability to stay calm under pressure, focus on the well-being of his team, and adapt to changing circumstances has made him a legend in leadership circles.
Even outside of exploration, Shackleton's name has become synonymous with resilience. Companies name products after him. Expeditions to this day carry his spirit of endurance, and schools teach his story to inspire future generations.
In the end, Shackleton showed us that true greatness isn't measured by reaching your original destination. It's measured by how you handle the journey, the challenges, and the people you share it with.
He wasn't just a hero of the Antarctic, he was a hero of humanity. And that's a wrap on Sir Ernest Shackleton and the Endurance.
We hope this story left you as inspired as it left us. Remember, folks, resilience isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving under pressure.
If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to rate, subscribe, and share. A 5-star review really helps us grow and bring more stories like this to your ears.
Got a topic suggestion? Hit us up on social media. And don't forget to check out our merch. The link's in the show notes.
Thanks for tuning in, and remember, history is always relevant. Stay curious, friends. Looking for the perfect way to show appreciation for the incredible mom in your life? Discover Exhausted Moms, a coloring journey to relaxation and humor, the coloring book that speaks directly to the heart of motherhood. Gift her an escape into pages of laughter, empowerment, and moments of tranquility. With Exhausted Moms, she'll find a blend of whimsical illustrations and inspiring quotes that celebrate her daily triumphs and challenges. Crafted with love from images I created for the mother of my children, each page offers a space for creativity and relaxation, a reminder that she's doing an amazing job, even on the toughest days. Give the gift of laughter, peace, and recognition. Exhausted Moms isn't just a coloring book, it's a hug, a nod of understanding, and a token of appreciation for everything she does. Surprise her with Exhausted Moms today and watch her face light up with joy. Because every mom deserves a moment to herself, wrapped in the colors of love and support.